obstacles are enemies of God.
Wow.
Ain't that something? You notice how that just played right over into the sermon, yep. Right? Don't tell me you don't work it out.
On time. Right on time.
So, as Pastor starts to develop this morning, I want us to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to us.
Yes.
How he's developing us through spiritual insight that we're receiving this year, so that we can become more and more like his son.
Amen.
Yes, Bishop.
Amen. 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 Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And the word, the psalmist said, great is the Lord.
And
greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. So we hope you got your war clothes on.
Oh, yes, I do.
In the army of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a good thing to be, like the psalmist say, I'm dressed in readiness. Amen.
Yes.
Dressed in readiness.
That's readiness.
Jesus told him that, to be dressed in readiness with your lamps alight. Keep your lamps lit. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Don't let the fire go out.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for letting us be here today. And it is a blessing to come once again. Now, y'all know we've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I don't think there's anything else that is of greater importance. The word of God, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. He said, the words that I speak to you. So we have that catalog in what we call the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit.
Yes.
And they are life.
Yeah.
Amen. So we know that the things that the enemy works against us are things that we have to become aware of. Paul spoke this way. He said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
Amen. So it's not the folks who we're looking at who are the problem.
All right.
But we tend to associate the folks we're looking at,
yes,
with the problem.
Yes, we do.
And we want to blame them and find someone to put a finger on. But he said it has to do with spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, there is a spiritual realm that is not readily visible, that's behind the problems that you have to deal with.
Amen.
If you take a stand for God. So let's look at a few things here today, because I want to talk about this spiritual insight into the obstacles of the enemies of God. God has enemies, and the thing I want you to understand, we'll talk about this and develop this as we go a little further into these texts. And there's some things that were astonishing to me to notice spiritually as I looked at some of the ways the enemy attacks the church. The church is not this building.
Nope.
It's you who are, as Peter said, living stones in the building of God. God dwells not in temples made with hands.
No way.
But you are a living stone.
Yes, we are.
In the building of God. And you know what holds the stones together in my mind? I thought of it this way. The martyr that holds all the stones together is the Holy Spirit.
All right.
And we should understand we are a living, active, moving building of God.
Yeah.
You have to see yourself as a stone in the building of God. See? And so
yes.
you are just like the cornerstone, who is the stone that the builders rejected.
Yeah.
But he has become the chief corner.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yes.
Man.
And you and I are building up on that stone, who is Christ Jesus. And the law and the prophets.
Yes.
Now that's a way of saying the Bible, God's word.
Yeah.
So we're building on Christ, the cornerstone, and you are a stone in the building, and the law and the prophets, that's the word of God, which is able to build you up, Paul says.
Yes.
See, and to render salvation to the ones who hear it and believe it by faith. Now, you know you can just hear it, and it might not do the same thing, because we've been looking at that. Spiritually, you can hear it, but if you don't receive it on good soil, it may not produce the purpose for which it was spoken. So let's look at this here. Now, this is a prophet that is not often preached. I don't know if you've heard a sermon recently, or maybe not at all, from the prophet Nahum. But I want you to see some things here today, and hopefully this will be a blessing. I know it will, because the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's no part of God's word that is of no necessity. We need every jot and tittle.
That's right.
Jesus said every jot and tittle is important, and none of it shall in any wise fail. That means it's all gonna be effective for the reason that God sent it. The words that I sent to you, he said, they are gonna perform the purpose for which I sent them. He said through Isaiah, right? Look at Nahum here, chapter number 1, verse 1 says that he is named the Elkoshite. That just tells who he is. But he writes, God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the palace thereof, and the darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Wow. Amen. The prophet Nahum to the people of God.
Wow.
May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now for the New Testament, let's read Galatians. Now we've had this already in this study, but we want to speak it one more time in your hearing.
All right.
Galatians 5 and 16. But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you may not do or cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Amen. That is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and may God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
Yes.
So what we want to take today is just these few minutes to talk about spiritual insight into the obstacles of the enemies of God. So profound, because there is a time, the scripture says in Romans 5, when you and I were classified as enemies of God. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yep.
That all the people who are now called friends of God at one time have been classified as an enemy of God. And when you think this through, it's really profound. Because God has been working with people who essentially have been against him in times past. And it amazes me to think about it. It's amazing to see that God could have stamped out all of his enemies right away. There would never have been any.
Yep.
And but God allowed, because he does not change. That's the important thing, is that God does not change. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes.
There's nothing. You know why God doesn't change? Let me just put a little insight on that. There's nothing to improve.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with him.
Nothing.
He's perfect.
Right.
He's flawless.
Right.
He's never learned anything. He knows everything. So there's nothing to change. He's perfect. He's flawless. He's all knowing. He's all powerful.
Yeah.
Nothing to change. He's perfect. He's flawless. He's all knowing. And you know what? The Bible says this, and I want this to sink into your spirit today. God is love, John writes.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, that's so deep.
Yes.
You know what that means? That means he has always been love.
Always.
That I love all the time.
Always.
So when God is tolerating enemies like he does, it's from the basis of the fact that he loves man. You know how we know? Because he made everything. First, the Bible tells us in the Psalms that the earth is the Lord's, right?
Yes.
And the fullness thereof, the world, and they who dwell in it.
Right.
It all belongs to him.
Yeah.
He didn't borrow it from anybody.
Nope.
He owns it.
Yeah.
Not only does he own the creation, but he owns us.
Yeah.
So when Adam sinned, this is a good thing you can hang your hat on. You can go ahead and start the shouting now.
Amen.
God did not change. God didn't change. He stayed the same.
Yes.
That's why Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. But there's something about this thing you and I need to get a spiritual grip on. God doesn't change. Sin came in and distorted the perfect thing that God made. And I've often told you this, and if you sat under our teaching here, you know it's true. That the reason God does not change, there's nothing to change. He loved Adam, and so when Adam changed, God did not change. I still love you.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't change. So I put up with your sin. I told you beforehand, the day that you transgress and eat of that fruit that I told you, only one law I gave you. You can eat of everything else here. I made all of this. I made for you. But I got one thing I don't want you to do. See? One law. And the day you do that, you shall surely die.
Surely die.
So he pronounced death when you transgress. And as y'all know, and I'm not trying to get too elementary here today, Adam transgressed.
Yes, he did.
And death came in by sin. Now, Adam didn't immediately drop dead. You know, that might have been something he might have thought about. Well, you know, she ate it, nothing happened. And the serpent, of course, one of the enemies of God.
Yes.
That the Bible tells us was already before plotting on how he could destroy God's creation.
Yeah.
So this is where the enemy situation starts. He goes and compromises with Eve and says, you know what? He's holding out on you. He didn't tell you all the benefits of this tree. Let's talk about that one tree that He told you leave that alone. See, he goes right to that thing.
All right, now.
His tactics have not changed.
Nope.
Whatever it is in your life that tempts you, that brings you to the edge where you may transgress God, let's talk about that thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the enemy of God, Nahum calls him here in verse 11, a wicked counselor.
Wicked.
He gives bad advice.
Wicked.
He gives anti-God advice.
Yep.
He wants you to transgress so you can be in the same soup with me.
Yeah.
So he gives you bad advice.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the primary enemy of God. And the scripture says, Jesus said, I was watching when Satan was cast out. He fell like lightning when he sinned against God.
Yep.
His sin came in before the garden.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't know when. We can't put a finger on the time. Theologians call this, there's some fancy names they give it, but it's hamartiology. How did sin ever start?
Yeah.
And where did it come from? What corrupted the devil and made him be who he is? An angel that God had made for his glory. The scripture tells us he was in the presence of God. He was, you can read his description in Ezekiel chapter number 28 and Isaiah 14. If you just want to do that on the side. But we're not going to burn the time, because I'm talking about today how you and I can have spiritual insight into the obstacles, because that's what the enemy does, is he sets up obstacles in your life and in my life.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. He wants to block you from God's best.
Oh yeah.
God already told Eve and Adam, but he actually told Adam, we have record of.
Mm-hmm.
Adam probably told Eve.
Yep.
Because she said, the devil said, has God really said? See, he got in the middle of their relationship. I don't know if God told her at all. It's not written in the word. It says he told Adam. And Adam probably told her, don't eat and don't even touch it. Stay away from over there.
Uh-huh.
We can figure. Because somehow she knew, don't eat. But
yep.
She also said, don't even touch it.
Don't even touch it.
So maybe Adam said, don't eat this, don't even touch it. I don't know where that came from. You can read that text again if you want to meditate on it. We don't know. But the scripture says that Eve was deceived.
Yep.
Why? Because the devil told her, God's holding out on you. Yo, let's go talk about that tree. He said, leave alone. Yo, you got all these trees here all over the place.
Freely to eat from.
You can freely eat. Yeah. You know, when I would have been so absorbed in all these trees, I wouldn't want to go over there. Because I got all these trees.
Yeah.
They're still around right now.
Wow.
Mangoes and pineapples and coconuts and whatever they were.
Yeah.
You got all of that, bananas and
wow.
All kinds of stuff. Why are you interested in this tree?
Wow.
And the devil said, let's talk about that tree. That's the one we want to go to. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's forbidden to you, that's what I want to talk to you about.
Right.
Let's talk about that forbidden thing.
Watch out.
Let's talk about that pornography. Let's talk about that woman over there that ain't none of yours. Let's talk about that man that's not none of yours. Let's talk about that relationship that doesn't honor God. Let's talk about stealing and cheating people on their job. Let's talk about your neighbors and all of that. Let's talk about all kinds of stuff in your life. Let's go there. Let's not go to what God has blessed you with already.
Yeah.
I want to take you somewhere over here in the dark.
All right.
So he offers obstacles of very, very many types. The scripture tells us that a third of the heavenly host fell with the devil when he was cast out.
Sure did.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Now my mind is really blown when I think about it, because you go, wait a minute now, the devil was in heaven already.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't happy in heaven already.
Mm-hmm.
You was in the glory with God.
Yeah.
In the presence of the Most High.
Yeah.
Had to be just awesome. I can't imagine it.
Wow.
I can only imagine it.
Wow.
See, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're trying to live, so we can be there.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah.
And you didn't have enough.
Wow.
See, and the reason I think that's important, be careful about having enough.
Yeah.
Be careful about having enough.
All right.
Yeah.
Because you can always want more and more and more.
More.
And I think that's part of the sin of Satan.
Yes,
I want more than what I got.
Yes.
I want to be like you.
Yeah.
Like the Most High.
All right. Now.
That's what he said over there. If you read in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. I want to be like the Most High. I want to ascend to the heights of heaven.
Wow.
See, he wanted more than what he had.
Mm-hmm.
And God had given him plenty. He was called the anointed cherub.
Yep.
That covers.
That
means he was close to the throne of
yes.
God.
Yes.
But you don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
You want more.
Wow.
My.
That's amazing. Check yourself on what your will and your desire is about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts. I believe that's where he got corrupted.
Oh, yeah.
So he's telling Eve now, he went to her. The scripture says the woman is the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean that she is a less than a man. If you think about the word weaker, it's a comparative of the word weak. So if the man is weak, then the woman is weaker compared to God, who is almighty.
Yes.
See, we all have a problem.
Yes, we do.
With that. There's a certain thing. The angel said, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yeah.
The devil want to know why you're so interested in them.
Right.
What about us?
Yeah.
See, and the reason God allows this, and we don't know the exact reason, but I'm going to give you some thoughts that I meditated on, is that he had free will.
Free will.
Just like you have free will.
Yeah.
If there is no free will, there can't be any real love.
All right.
If I got you in a ball and a chain to make you be with me, that ain't no good. As soon as you get the key to the ball and chain, you gone. You out of here. See, if I have to tie you up to keep you, you ain't in the mind. But if you're free, and you can come and go as you please, and you choose to be mine, then you're mine. See? So that's it. You gotta have freedom. The devil had abused his freedom. So many times we abuse our freedom.
Yes.
We should be devoted and dedicated to God. But the enemy of our soul, who is the devil, and all of his hosts, one third, the Bible says, fell with him from heaven. You know what that means? God has two thirds. It didn't fall. You got more help. Then you got enemies. And it says in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits?
Yep.
Sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation.
Amen.
That's what the writer to the Hebrews said. Are not all those angels ministering spirits?
Yes.
That God sends out, he dispatches them to do what you need to keep you walking with him by faith. So we should choose to worship God. Nahum tells us here, and this couldn't be true if we weren't free, that God is a jealous God. Now he puts it in that term so you and I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
We understand jealousy. How many times have somebody had something and you wanted it, or you were jealous over a particular thing? You understand that. Jealousy is probably one of the biggest things that drives some of the other sins. You hear about folks getting murdered over jealousy. You hear about folks lying over jealousy. Jealousy is a passionate thing in our makeup. But the scripture says God is jealous, so you and I understand he has a lot invested in me and in you.
Yes.
He loves you.
Yes.
He wants you for himself.
Yeah.
He wants you to love him back like he loves you.
Amen.
See, and he gives you the freedom to do that or not. Your enemy says, okay, I know this stuff here. I can get you messed up with some stuff. If you want more, then you're not happy with what God has given you. See, you got all this God has given you, but this one thing that he's held out from you, that's the thing we want to talk about. That's been his tactic throughout the years. But God is jealous and the Lord revenges. In other words, there is coming a day of reckoning, even though God is love. That doesn't mean I'm going to let all that stuff keep going on. It's not going to keep going on.
Nope.
But so far, I'm long-suffering. That's what it means. He puts up with it for a long time. So far, it's been about 6,000 years. Got people who tell us it's been 66 billion years. And I always ask them, well, how old are you, sir? Oh, I'm 65. Well, you figured out it's 60 billion years and you're 65. And you really can say that and call that science? Are you kidding me? That's where I go. You know what? You got about another 20, 30, 40, 50 years to figure it out. Because if you hit that box without Jesus, you're going to have a problem. Your 60 billion year hypothesis, which you cannot prove, will not hold you up. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you telling me you know that? What's the scientific proof that that's so? Don't pull up a dinosaur bone, please. Don't do that. Because that doesn't prove anything. It's a dusty old bone. That's not science. But where our kids are being taught all this in the schools. But why they took the Bible out so they could bring in obstacles from the enemy to poison the mind of the youth. So we need to understand that. But God is jealous. There is a day of revenge. He is furious, it says here. You know what? You can understand that. If you love somebody, there's some stuff they can do to burn you up. You know what? People you don't care about, you don't get burned up or upset about. I don't care about you. You don't mean nothing to me. Go ahead and do what you're doing. Who cares? That's where you go. But if a person is in, got a hold on your heartstrings,
watch
and they do something, oh Lord, now you understand that. See, so it's got to be some love involved for there to be that kind of a jealousy, a drive for your best, wanting the best for you.
Yes.
So the Lord is slow to anger. You want to know why is he waiting so long to bring judgment? Because he is slow to anger. He is great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. Look at that. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. I heard Sister Ernestine talking about that this morning in the Sunday school. Some of those things that go on. God has his way in the storm and in the clouds of the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea. We saw that in the book of Exodus when he allowed the children of Israel to cross through on dry land and maketh it dry. And he drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth in Carmel. These are fancy, beautiful places and countries in the Middle East. And he says, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who shall be able to stand when the wrath of God starts to be meted out? Scripture says, who shall be able to stand? The answer is no one. Who can abide the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. But notice this, Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
And a stronghold in the day of trouble. This is a good stronghold. He is a strong tower, the Proverbs writer said. And the righteous run in, and they're safe. And he knoweth them that trust him. If you trust him, you can believe he's got you covered. You don't have to worry about drifting times and funny philosophies and bad politics. You don't have to worry about it. God say, I got your back. There is coming a day of reckoning. But I'm giving people time to repent. Why? Because I love you and I love the people who love me back. But there is coming a day of reckoning.
Oh, yes.
Notice this, it says here, verse 8, but with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, all those things that oppose him. And darkness shall pursue his enemies. They got a day of judgment coming. The folks who have not trusted in God, and have not received his love, have not received his grace, have not received his blessing. If you're still here and you hear this, he wants you to turn around.
Yes, he does.
Just like we did in this room.
Amen.
One day we realized, I want to be on the right side of this thing. I don't want to be on the wrong side of God.
Right.
See? So I want to be on the right side, and God has done stuff to make it where I can do that. And he puts up with man throughout all the generations. That's why it says, faithful through the ages.
Yes.
Our God is an awesome God. For it says, while, looking on here in verse 10, for while they be folding together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. That's what happened to folks who just reject the counsel of God. God is calling out to every man, woman, boy, and girl, I love you, I'm giving you time. We don't know when that time will end. Could be at any minute. That's why the Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Turn away from that, being on the wrong side.
Yes.
Turn around. around and get right.
Yes.
Trust him. He already has given you grace
yes.
to be as far as you are.
Yes.
And I'm giving you another chance right now to get on my right side. Notice this here, verse 11. And there is one that cometh out of thee. That means the devil didn't create himself. He's not self-existent. But he imagineth evil against the Lord. He is a wicked counselor. Giving bad advice. Bad advice is where it all started. Eve, don't trust your husband. Don't trust God. Listen to me. I'm giving you bad advice. He's holding out on you. This is what he said now, and the record says this, y'all know this. He said, you know what? If he knows that when you eat this, you're going to be like him. That's what he lied and said.
Yep.
You know what the reason it's a lie? Because you already like him.
Already like him.
You like him now. He created you in his image and in his likeness.
Yeah.
The devil said, oh, you're going to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
That's partially true.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you're already like him.
Right.
So eating that tree is not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Doing that wrong thing is not going to help you. But he deceived her. And so some of the obstacles of the enemies of God, they all proceed from one place, the wicked counselor.
Mm-hmm.
But he has poisoned the whole world.
Yes, he has.
He has poisoned men, women, boys, and girls.
Mm-hmm.
He has got poisonous political systems.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
right,
but against principalities and against powers
mm-hmm.
and against spiritual wickedness mm-hmm. in high places. Whoever listens to him, he gets control over their mind. And the further you get away from God, it seems like it's harder for you to come back. The farther away you get, then, oh, I've been messed up like this all my life. And they feel like I can't be redeemed. I can't come back. But God says, I don't care how far you've been and how much wrong you've done. You can be like that prodigal son. Just give me what I got coming to me and let me go. God said, take it and go. See, and when he was in the swine pit, he realized.
Hello.
He woke up. He had a coming to himself.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? If my father's barn is better than where I'm at.
Yeah.
Just let me get up and go back, and maybe he'll take me back.
Yeah.
The truth is, he will take you back.
Yes, he will.
He will accept you.
Yeah.
He has never changed.
Never.
He loved you when you left.
Yeah.
And he loves you in your mess.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. He still loves you.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of your problem.
Yeah.
Your sin, he loves you.
Yeah.
He has never changed.
Never.
Just said, turn around and come on back.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say as soon as he came to himself, he started heading home with all his filthy rags. I'm just going to go say, let me sleep in the barn. That'll be good enough for me. The father saw him come in with the Bible saying. He ran down the road to meet
yes.
him. He was so anxious to yes. get my son back.
Yes.
To take you in. He was lost, but now he's found. Because
yeah.
he's coming back on his own free will.
Yeah.
See? And I loved him when he left. I love him still.
Yeah.
The son tried to explain. Y'all know the story.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, just let me sleep in the barn. Shut up. Get the bathroom.
Yeah. Fatted calf.
Kill the fatted calf. Let's throw a party. See, I don't even want to hear it. I already know what you're going through.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear it. I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
So this whole text is about obstacles that the enemies of God
come on now.
Set up to strike you down.
Yeah.
To get your mind off of what God has already done. And who God already is for you.
Yeah.
God has endured his enemies from the fall of Adam all the way up until this very second.
Yeah.
But has promised that his enemies will be brought to an end in his wrath and will be utterly destroyed and never have another chance to corrupt the things that he has made. A second time, as prophet Haggai said, it will never rise a second time. So this is the first round where we are right now. But it won't ever happen again. God says, when all things I behold, I make all things new. I'm going to wrap it all up one day. And the ones who have had all these centuries to accept me and my love, there's going to be a day it's too late now. And the Bible says that his wrath, who shall be able to stand? The answer is only the righteous, the ones who have accepted his love and his grace. So a great percentage of the scripture, this is what I want you to hear this morning, is dedicated to the education of believers, which is for the purpose of teaching them to conquer the same kinds of obstacles caused by the enemies of God, which make constant attempts to destroy the peace of God from his chosen. They keep on rapping on your door. Who must receive training from the Holy Spirit through the scriptures to know how to preserve and prosper over everyone. God is equipping you through his word to prosper over every attempt the devil makes to try to get you off the track. And believe you me, he's on you all the time. So you got to be able to see it. It's not, like Paul said, it's not the flesh and blood that you're dealing with. It's principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Bad philosophy. How does this work? Well, you know what? You can fill their mind with a bunch of garbage, with junk TV programs. Get in their psyche. Make them think any kind of sexual thing is okay. God ain't striking the people with lightning. What do you mean it's a problem if I'm twisted or not doing things according to the truth? You know, and I'm gonna poison you with it because it's in your mind every day. See, and the people doing it don't even know they're poisoning you. Somebody put it this way: the brainwashed do not know they are brainwashed.
Oh, right. Wow.
Right. Wow. If you knew, you wouldn't be brainwashed.
Right.
So don't account it to the flesh.
Right.
Realize that there's spiritual wickedness behind these things. As we see barriers being removed that have been societal, because the society in general loved God throughout most of the history of America.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, years back, about 50, 60, 70 years ago, let's get God out of here. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Too much God, too much righteousness. Let's cut that out.
Yeah.
Let's take that Bible out of the school.
Yeah.
And now you raise up generations of people who don't even know anything about what God said.
Right.
Have no convictions. We want to know why will people do the kind of stuff we see on the news every night. How can you kill little babies and think it's okay?
Mm-hmm.
How can you go into school and shoot up children
mm-hmm.
and have no conscience of it?
Mm-hmm.
How can you shoot old ladies sitting on the porch and stuff like that and not feel bad? I can ride down the highway and it's so important for me to kill my enemy. I don't care if all these other people using the highway are destroyed. Carelessness because they have listened to the enemy. And there's no fear of God in their eyes. That's what the scripture says. So I'm going to talk to you just a minute before we wrap up here. This is a passionate kind of message.
Yes.
There are several things that I want to talk with you about concerning the enemies of God. Just a few things. These are about various ships that you and I need to think about. Number one is stewardship. God has made us the steward of everything we own and possess. So we have a stewardship. I have to think that way or else I'm not going to use what God has given me to his glory. He's given me what I have to exemplify his son in his kingdom.
Amen.
That's why I have it.
Yeah.
I don't have it for any other reason. He said, I supply how many of your needs?
Oh.
All your needs.
According
to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So stewardship is important.
Yeah.
And then even ownership. Who owns the stuff I have?
God
owns it.
Yeah.
Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yeah.
How about fellowship? These are all ships. I told you we're going to talk about some ships.
Yeah.
Fellowship is important.
It is.
It's not that I'm going to sit out from hearing God's word. I need a fellowship.
Yeah.
It's not something that I can just have on my back burner. Oh, it's not important for me to go to church today. I got to wash my car. I don't have time through the week.
Yes.
Or I got to go play some golf or any kind of thing that would draw you out of fellowship.
Yes.
I want to be in fellowship. That's got to be important to me.
Because
it's important to God. So these ships are very important. How about relationship? I need to have proper relationships that God calls proper. See? Otherwise, I'm going to be messed up.
Yes.
How about leadership? You are a leader in the realm God has put you in. You are leading somebody. You may not think it. But people are watching you. Paul said we are living epistles.
Yes, we are.
Known and read by all men.
All right.
That means folk ain't thinking about God or reading the letters. You are a love letter from God.
Right.
Have you ever thought about it? So you have leadership. So to encapsulate all these ships, let's bring them under one we talked about this morning, Brother John. Discipleship.
Yeah.
We are disciples. What does that mean? That means I'm learning to do these things better. I'm learning how to do all of the above better. Because I'm a disciple of the Most High.
Yes, I am.
Who sent his son for the purpose of discipleship. He knows we don't know all this. He doesn't expect us to know it, but he wants you to be learning. That's why he told the church, he only mainly talked about to those 12. He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And what is that? Evangelize the world. Teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
See, and although I am with you, even though I'm not present with you physically, but I'm still with you.
Yeah.
How? Through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The promise of the Father that we're with you are sealed. God said, I seal you when you trust my son. The Holy Spirit, my seal is on you. Who can move God's seal off of you?
Nobody.
You know what? You can't even take it off.
Nope.
If it's on you, you can't take it off. You know what else? I don't want to take it off.
Come on now.
It's the most important thing ever happened to me. Why would I take it off? I don't want to take it off. I want to put it on my chest. And walk through the world with it. Showing people how good God is. He gave his son for a wretch like me.
Yes.
See, so I'm not taking it off. Somebody go, who's picking it up? I'm not going to pick it up. Take it out to a bad commercial. But I'm keeping it on.
Watch out, man.
I'm going to wear it proudly. So this is all discipleship. Discipleship is the essence of the Great Commission. And therefore must be the item of most importance. Think about that. The item of most importance rather than a secondary item in my life. You know why? Because my discipleship is going to make me a better husband. It's going to make me a better father. It's going to make me a better neighbor. It's going to make me a better friend. It's going to make me a better whatever I am. God is making it better. He's helping you be better than you are. And so that's why all these ships are very important. And then that's going to lead us to the old ship of Zion. But that's where we're heading. When we get our ships in order. So Paul's letter to the Galatians, as we have already read in the study, Paul says, but this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That means live your life in the realm of the Spirit, which you know is our theme for this year. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All the stuff we're dealing with is stuff we learned through the years. Like I heard my sister mention, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So I got some baggage that's in my system. It's already there. But I got to get it out. It's not an excuse.
Nope.
It's a truth. It's a reality. In sin did my mother conceive me. She couldn't do anything about it. My parents did the best they could to make me the best I could be under their jurisdiction. See, but you know what? They knew, turn him over to the Lord. The Lord is who he needs. See, you know what? And God is a perfect parent. He is flawless. And look what he did. He gave his own son to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, that by his stripes we are healed. See, he's healed us because we couldn't do it ourselves. Because I love them.
Yes.
See, I love them this much. Jesus loves you too. Because he was willing to take all that. It was decided before he made anything that there will be a day I'll come down and pay the bill. Because they already knew Satan didn't trick God. God already knew what the devil would do. And God's son had already promised, I will redeem a humanity for you who loves you for real. See, and we choose to love him. So Paul says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, and he says the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. That's part of the battle, the internal battle. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So if you allow the Spirit to lead you, you are not under the law. And then he gives us a list or two here to describe what kind of stuff is of the flesh versus the kind of stuff that's of the Spirit. So we should be, as he said in Romans, putting to death the works of the flesh by the will of the Spirit. What does that mean? Learn what God's Word says about it, trust it, believe it, and walk in it. If you don't pray about it, and if you don't confess it, that's what this table is for. When I come short, I'm coming to the table. Lord, I'm coming short right here. And I need you to strengthen me right here. The blood Jesus shed is for this thing I'm dealing with right here. See, for whatever it is that's in my life, as I will sink with his word. That's why this is an important table. It's not some ritual you do. It's a place of cleansing. Where you come to get your life and your mind cleansed. Get myself back in sync and good fellowship with the Savior who died and paid my bill. So I don't have to worry about, is the bill paid? I just need to talk with him about how to get it together and how to keep on walking in his name. And then he says, on the other hand, you'll start to produce the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That means ability to take more stuff than you normally can. You know, when something is tempered, it's been put through some changes so that it can take going through changes even better. And against such, there is no law. So Paul's letter to the Galatians and many others are living instructions for the saved to come to learn what the enemies of God are and exactly how to identify them, as we learn that it is not flesh and blood that we are wrestling with, but rather spiritual wickedness in high places, which constitutes the place of the battlefield that we must learn to fight on, the secure and secure the victory. God will give you the victory. He's already, in fact, put it this way: if you trust Christ, you have been given the victory already. You possess it right now.
Right now,
it can't be taken from you.
No,
but you can grow in it.
Yeah.
And he can, he said, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. There are two laws working in the world. God's going to terminate the law of sin and death.
Yes, he is.
But the law of the liberty of life is going to be multiplied and carried into the new kingdom when God has dealt successfully with all his enemies. And think about it like this, and I'm done. This was a more time than I thought.
You're right.
But just think about this. It's almost like an archer with a bow in his hand.
Yes.
Pulling back the arrow of destruction, giving people time. But baby, when he lets it go, all you got to be on the right side. I want to be back here behind the bow. When he lets the arrow fly, I don't want to be in front of it. And the only way to get out from in front of it is trust in Christ. And believe that God has raised him from the dead. And you shall be saved. See? Saved from his wrath, from his vengeance, from his fury. And be on the right side of his love and his grace, his mercy and his blessing. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. Amen. And meditate on this. This was a deep thing God sent into my mind, is that I got to share this with the church. Because he is able to give you what you need. He's already given it to you. This is the good news. He's waiting on us to catch up with what he already gave. You have it now.
Yes.
That's why John said, beloved, now are ye the sons of God.
Yes.
But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we shall be like him.
Yes.
Or we shall see him just as he is.
Yes.
So as we see him even in the scripture, we're being made like him, being conformed to the same image.
Amen.
From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, Paul said. 2 Corinthians 3. If we continue to behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're being transformed into the same image every day. That's why you cannot forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You want to be in the Word all the time.
Amen.
Get to where you can be like the psalmist who says, I'm going to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. See, And then I'll be like a tree.
Yeah.
Planted by the rivers of water. To bring forth its fruit in the season. The leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do it shall prosper. God has promised you prosperity.
Yes.
Joshua was told, meditate in this law day and night. Never let the book of the law depart from out of your mouth. Keep on speaking it. Keep saying it. And you shall have good success and find prosperity in your way.
Yes.
See, God says, I'm going to give you good success.
Yes.
Keep your mind stayed on me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the big challenge today. So many things want to draw our mind away from what God said. That's where the devil started.
Yeah.
But God loves you right now, wherever you are.
Amen.
So if you believe in him, trust, pray with me right now. Eternal God, we praise you, we bless you. We thank you today, Father, for the giving of your Son, that you put him in the center of time so that nobody can overlook him. They can say they do, but he's in the middle of time. 2020 took 2020 years since he was born and changed eternity for the world and for the whole universe. People want to overlook it, God, and try to skip back and talk about millions of years. But it's 2020 on earth, everywhere around. And Father, we pray you give somebody 2020 vision.
Right now.
That they can see the glory of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And come running asking, what must I do to be saved? The answer is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you confess him with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yes, yes.
It's a promise from God. So we pray you trust in him right now. If you are, just tell him right now in the quietness of your heart, Lord God, I trust you. I believe in the blood of Jesus, the only payment for a wretch like me. And you raise him out of the grave so I can know for sure that I have eternal life. Bless somebody today with the knowledge of the gospel. We give you all the praise and the glory. We thank you for calling us to this battlefield that we might take a stand for the things that will be eternal. Somebody wrote a song, build your hope on things eternal. And we're going to hold on to your unchanging hand. We give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Church all sit together. Amen. Give God a praise. Hope you got a good word from the message today.